Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Live with Lon. We're so glad to have you. And we're going to talk today about a perennial question that people are always asking. And that is, did Jesus himself ever claim to be God? Ever claim to be deity in the flesh? Not did his followers claim that for him, but did he ever claim it? But before we dig in, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, open our eyes, our minds, and our hearts to your word today. Illuminate our spirits that we might truly grasp the truth of your eternal supernatural word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what? Amen and amen. Amen. And Lord, help me to teach it with power. Amen and amen. All right, what are we studying? Let's say it together. Come on, here we go. What are we studying? Say it. The Bible, the whole Bible, nothing but the Bible. And then we're applying it, of course, to our lives. And as I said just a moment ago, a very common argument that people will throw into your face regarding the validity and the trustworthiness of our faith is that Jesus himself never claimed to be God. This was something his followers made up centuries later. In fact, this notion is actually popularized in Dan Brown's book, The Da Vinci Code, where he referred to the Nicene Creed, 324 AD, and said this was a gathering of the bishops at the time where they contrived, where they made up that Jesus was God in the flesh, but he never claimed that. So let's dig in. We're in John chapter 8, where this issue is covered straightforwardly. And conclusively for all of us. So here we go. Let's pick up John chapter 8, verse 21. New King James Version of the Bible we're reading from. Look at verse 21. Then Jesus said to them, I am going away, and you will seek me and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. Referring, of course, to his ascension back to heaven. Then the Jews said to him, will he kill himself because he says, where I go, you cannot come? And he said to them, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of the world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And then they said to him, who are you? Well, isn't that the $24,000, million question? Who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. Okay, so whatever we discover here about who Jesus is claiming to be, it's what he has claimed to be from the beginning. It's never changed. He didn't have his popularity go to his head and suddenly begin to change what he was claiming for himself. No. From the beginning, whatever we discover here about Jesus's claim for himself, that's what he's been saying from the start and what he says to the finish, okay? Now, let's look back at verse 24. Therefore, I say to you that you will die in your sins. Now, this is a bad thing, because if we die in our sins, the justice and the holiness of God will pronounce judgment upon us. We have to die, covered by the blood of Jesus, to escape that. Okay, you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe, look, that I am he, you will die in your sins. Now, what does it mean when Jesus says, I am he? Well, that is not exactly what Jesus said. This is how the translators took it. But the word he, I am he, is not actually in the original Greek text of John chapter 8. The actual verse says, if you do not believe that I am, ego eimi in Greek. The he is not there. It was added by the translators. They thought to make it make more sense, but what they actually did is they confused and they obfuscated what Jesus is really claiming. He says, if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Now, this is not the only time in the chapter Jesus says this. I want you to look with me. John chapter 8 at verse 28. Then Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, meaning on the cross, then you will know that I am he. But again, the he is not in the Greek text. Then you will know that I am. And finally, look down with me in verse 58. And we'll get there, but the rabbis are arguing with Jesus that their father is Abraham and their father is God. And Jesus says, before Abraham was, he saw my day. Look what Jesus said. Verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you're not even 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, most assuredly, verily, verily, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And here, the New King James translators actually get it right. They put I am in capital letters, and they don't put a he after it. All three of these places in John chapter 8, Jesus is claiming to be I am. Now, where's this come from? Well, let's look back in the Old Testament to a very famous passage in Exodus chapter 3, Moses at the burning bush. And I'm using the New American Standard translation of the Old Testament. And I want you to look with me at verse 13 of chapter 3. Then Moses said to God, behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I shall say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me when I do that, what is his name? And Moses says, what shall I say to them? What's your name? And watch. And God says to Moses, look at this. I am who I am. And he said, thus shall you say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Here, this is Jehovah God talking to Moses. That's what he's called here in the chapter, Yahweh. And he says, my name is I am. You shall tell them that I am has sent me to you. So what is Jesus actually claiming here in John chapter 8? My friends, he's claiming to be the great I am, Yahweh, Jehovah God, who spoke to Moses from the burning bush. Because he calls himself three times, I am. Remember the verses. Let's look back at them. Chapter 8, verse 24. For if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Verse 28. When you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, then you will know that I am. And verse 58. Truly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Three times, Jesus claims to be, I am. Now you say, well, Lon, okay, I get that, but maybe you're reading way too much into this. Maybe that's not really what Jesus was claiming to be God. Oh, yes, he was. Look with me. Look back into Luke's gospel. We'll get there when we start merging the gospels in John chapter 12. And here we have Jesus standing before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish high council. So look, let's pick up in verse 66. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together and led him, Jesus, into their council, saying, are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah? Tell us. And he said to them, if I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter, the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then they all said, are you then the Son of God? And he said to them, you rightly say that, look, I am. Now, we could just say that's part of the sentence. You rightly say I am. Or we could understand that to be another claim. You rightly say that I am. That I am the one who spoke to Moses from the bush. And they said, what further testimony do we need? For we ourselves have heard it from his own mouth. Did they understand what Jesus was claiming? Well, look back at John chapter 8. Look at this. Verse 58, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Why did they take up stones to throw at him? Well, for blasphemy, that he, a mere man, was claiming to be God. And we see this another place. Look at John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, Jesus heals the man at the pool of Bethesda. And therein says verse 16, and therefore the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. God doesn't take the Sabbath off. And therefore, verse 18, the Jews sought all the more to kill him. Watch, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And one more, John chapter 10. Jesus says in verse 30, I and the Father are one. Verse 31, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus said, many good works, many miracles I've shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? Now look, the Jews answered him saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. My dear friends, Jesus claimed to be God all the time. This was his claim, as he said in John chapter 8, from the beginning. He never didn't claim to be God. This is why at the Transfiguration, Peter wanted to build one altar for Moses and one altar for Elijah. And God said, no, this is my beloved son, hear him. Now, that doesn't automatically make Jesus deity, but all these other passages certainly do, so that what God said at the Transfiguration makes perfect sense. Now, that's as far as we want to go in our passage, but we want to ask our most important question. So are you ready? Come on now. One, two, three. So what? Yes. What's the not a sermon Just a thought. What's the kernel that I want you to take home with you today? Because we've been studying the Word of God today, and what do we say? How sweet it is. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. What I want to take you to take home with you, my friends, is the absolute confirmation in your heart, if you're a believer, that you have not followed cleverly devised fables. Look at this, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For Peter says, we have not followed cunningly, cleverly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Where? The Mount of Transfiguration. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, God the Father, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain. I want you to know, as a believer, that you have not followed cunningly devised fables, that this is real, that Jesus really did claim to be God in the flesh. It was not made up at some council by a bunch of bishops, as Dan Brown tried to convince the world. And he's not the only one. Many preachers don't believe Jesus claimed to be God in the flesh, sadly. But as we've just seen, Jesus made it patently clear that that's what he was claiming. You say, all right, so how did he prove it? I mean, Peter heard God speak up on the mountain, but how do we know Peter really heard that? Maybe he's just making it up. All right, legitimate question. Romans chapter 1, let's look at this, beginning at verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he, God, promised beforehand by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his, God the Father's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now watch. Who was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and who was declared, look at this, to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness. How was he declared to be what he claimed to be? By the resurrection from the dead. Folks, we have more than just Peter's eyewitness testimony on the Mount of Transfiguration to back up what Jesus claimed. We have the resurrection from the dead to back it up. Peter, hypothetically, although he didn't, could have been running a hoax and making this up. But friends, the resurrection is no hope. And when you rise from the dead, Jesus said, I have the power to lay my life down. Well, we all have that power. But I have the power, he said, to take it up again. Myself, who has that power except God himself? And then he went on to prove it. He raised Lazarus. He raised Jairus' daughter. He raised the widow of Nain's son from the dead. But who raised Jesus from the dead? He himself raised himself from the dead. Who can do that but God himself? Now, all of that leaves me to say to you, believe the book. Believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let anybody or anything shake your confidence that you have followed not cunningly devised fables, but you have followed the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. And if you believe this truth, God will escort you right into heaven, where you will be with the living second person of the Godhead, as well as angels and the first person of the Godhead and the third person of the Godhead. But you will be with the living, risen Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in closing, you might say, well, what about this whole thing that Dan Brown popularized? That at the Council of Nicaea, 324 AD, the bishops made the deity of Christ up. Well, it's a lie. About the only thing Dan Brown got right about the Council of Nicaea was the date and the name. In 324, Constantine, the new emperor of the Roman Empire, who really did become a Christian, called bishops from all over the Roman world to come to Nicaea. Nicaea is in modern-day Turkey, north-central Turkey, right on the Black Sea. And he called them there not to make up doctrine. He called them there to codify doctrine and write it down, doctrine that they all believed, but he wanted to be written down in an organized form. And that's what the Council of Nicaea was about. It was also about Arius and Athanasius. You were a little, who? They were two men, two bishops, Arius, A-R-I-A-S, and Athanasius. And there was a big dispute between the two of them and their followers about whether Jesus was indeed deity. Arius said no, Athanasius said yes. And also at that council, they excommunicated Arius, the bishops did, and said, no, we affirm what we've always believed and what we know is true from the Bible, that Jesus is deity. That was the Council of Nicaea. And out of it came the Nicene Creed. And I want to close by reading it to you. Here we go. Let's put it on the screen. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of all things visible and invisible. Okay, that takes care of the first person in the Godhead. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, here's the second person in the Godhead, begotten of the Father, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Now, what does that mean? Well, the Greek word is homoousios. Ousios means your essence, your intrinsic being. And homo means the same. So the word homoousios means of the same intrinsic being as the Father. You understand? They were stating here that Jesus is very God of very God, light of light. He's begotten, not made. Nobody made him. He was begotten at the virgin birth. This day I have begotten thee, Psalm 2. And he is homoousios, of the same intrinsic nature with the Father. How can you say it any clearer than that? By whom all things were made, that is the Lord Jesus. That's what Hebrews chapter 1 says, and Colossians chapter 1. Both in heaven and on earth, who for us men and for our salvation came down and was incarnate and was made man. He suffered, and the third day he rose again, ascended into heaven, and from thence, from there, he shall come to judge the living, the quick, and the dead. And then it goes on to say, and we believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. And we're not going to continue anymore, but there you got it. That is the statement of what we believe the Lord Jesus Christ to be, very God of very God, homoousios, of the same intrinsic nature of God the Father, which is exactly what he claimed. If you don't believe I am the one who spoke to Moses, Jehovah God, from the bush, you'll die in your sins. And when you lift me up on the cross, you will know that I am the same God who spoke to Moses. And before Abraham was, I am. Hey, and that's why they picked up rocks. They knew exactly what he was claiming to be God, very God of very God. So in closing, don't you ever let somebody tell you that Jesus himself never claimed to be God. Friends, he claimed it all the time, which is why they were always picking up rocks to throw at him. So therefore, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Isn't that great? We have followed the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. And the truth that we have followed and we believe as believers is going to be the thing we ride right in to heaven like a surfboard when we leave this earth. Now, if you're listening to this and you've never trusted Jesus as deity, you might think he's a nice man. You might think he was a nice philosopher. You might think he was a religious leader like Buddha or Confucius or Muhammad. Folks, there's no. Jesus is not on the level with any of those guys. Jesus is deity, and he rose from the dead to prove it. Hey, let me just say, if you went into a room with 50 doors, every one of them claiming to be the way to get to heaven and have eternal life, and you had 49 of them with a skeleton in front of it, pointing to that door saying, this is the way, and one of them with a living, risen Savior, alive forevermore, shining brighter than the sun, deity in the flesh, pointing to a door and saying, this is the way, which door do you think you'd go through? Well, I would suggest you'd have to be a fool to go through the other 49 doors with a skeleton pointing at them. You'd go through the door with the living Christ pointing at it. Folks, remember what we say all the time. Follow a dead Savior. Muhammad, Confucius, Buddha, Rabbi Schneerson, Joseph Smith, L. Ron Hubbard, Murray Baker Eddy, whoever. And you're going to end up just like him. Follow a dead Savior, you're going to end up just like him or her. Follow a living Savior, and you'll end up just like him. If you've never given your life to Christ and trusted him as your living Savior from death and hell and the judgment of God, now's the time to do it. Let's pray. And if you're out there and you've never trusted Christ to be God in the flesh and the one who died on the cross to cover you with his blood and protect you from the judgment of God against your sin, then I'm going to give you a chance to do it right now. I'm going to pray a short little prayer. You pray it right after me. Here we go. Lord Jesus, I come to you today because I want eternal life and I want to go to heaven. And so today, I give up every other remedy that I've ever trusted to forgive my sins and get me into heaven. And I give up every other religious leader and every other ism and every other ology that I've ever followed and trusted to get me eternal life in heaven. And today, I put my complete trust in you as the living, risen, second person in the Godhead in the flesh. And I put my faith in what you did for me on the cross to pay for my sin, to create a covering in your blood so that I will not have to face the wrath of a holy God. Come into my heart today, forgive my sins, give me eternal life, and submit my heart to you for the rest of my life and eternity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, you need to go tell your pastor that you prayed that prayer with this crazy Jewish believer. And if they grab you and spin you around and hug you and say, praise the Lord, we got to get you into disciple building so you can grow in your faith, then you're in the right church. And if they look at you when you tell them like you are crazy, or they shake their head like that, friend, you're in the wrong church. You get out of that church and you go find a church that understands who the Lord Jesus is and understands the new birth and understands salvation by the blood of Christ. You understand me? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Praise the Lord. We've not followed cunningly devised fables. And if you believe the gospel, you're going to be in heaven for all of eternity to prove it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth like the Nicene Creed said and dying on the cross for us and providing a true way to heaven, the only way to heaven. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Help us to trust you with all of our heart. Amen and amen. And this deserves a third amen. Amen. Hey, God bless you. And Lord willing, we'll see you next week on Live with Lon. Thanks for joining us.